two things. It means I'm going away and I'm going to miss a Sunday, so we pack it all in. We're going to explore that passage in a little more depth today. So if you do have your Bibles or your phones with your Bibles, ignore the notifications, go straight to the Bible. I'm going to spend a little bit of time there. We're going to go to John chapter 1, but we're going to go from verse 35 right through to 51. Just prepare yourselves. You don't have to read it now, but we'll get there. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you desire to speak to each one of us. Lord, each person here today, needs something from you. And Lord, we come expectant that you will speak to us. And Lord, as we prepare messages and sermons, we're always surprised at what parts speak to people. Sometimes it's not even what's written in the sermon or it's something else that you do. So Lord, we bring this message today and however it's delivered, and we just ask you to take it and use it, split it up, disperse it like the loaves and bread, loaves and fishes, Lord, to people as they need. May they hear those words that they need to hear today, whether it be a challenge or a comfort or a call. We just ask that you bless the words today. We give them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So tomorrow I'm off to Cambodia and haven't been there for 5 years. We left there as a family about 6 years ago. You heard a bit from Sam last week about his experiences there and what it means to him. We lived there for 20 years, so it's been a big part of our lives. That's where I met Colleen. That was just in case it didn't come up earlier. Rik rie tngai kam nap, Colleen. And that number there is that, if you haven't worked it out by now, that is another clue as to how old Colleen is in the white box there. 21, yeah. Remarkable, those numbers look the same. Anyway, that was a cool photo that we took. We either took it for something. It was Colleen the superhero, anyway. It was great. I think I just managed to snap you just as you were chasing me down. I got away just in time. anywho, I have both wonderful memories there, and I also have some not so good memories as well. But Cambodia shaped me. It shaped Colleen. It shaped my children in ways very different to me. I was a different person of a different age experiencing different things. And just as I couldn't tell you what sort of person I would be if I hadn't met and married Colleen, because we've spent so long together, she has shaped me and I have shaped her. I couldn't tell you what would have happened, what I would be like today, because I am who I am because of her. And in the same way, Cambodia shaped me, the experiences that I had there. I don't know what I would be like if I hadn't gone there. So I deeply cherish that experience. And because it was there that I experienced Jesus in the most incredible ways and in some of the most difficult of circumstances. And I learned deeply of his justice and his righteousness by experiencing the depths of injustice, some of the worst injustices. You have to go back and go, well, what is God's intention? How do you get back from this devastation? It helped me understand his love for the most vulnerable, even the worst criminal offenders during our time working in the prisons there, and a way that even the most depraved person can be transformed and experience Jesus. It shaped my view of the world and my understanding of God and his purposes in the world. It was there that my own New Zealand culture was stripped down, all those perfect things that I think New Zealanders are the best at, and we should all do it our way. I found out over 20 years that actually there are other ways to do things, and some of them are a bit better, actually. But I found the value of my own culture within the context of other cultures. I learned to cherish those things that I really cherish about where I came from and how where I came from helped to build other people up, just in the same way that their experiences and view of the world helped to shape me and challenge my thinking. I learned the value of language, of being able to learn and speak someone else's language in order to truly understand the experiences of that person. I was given the opportunity to study that I probably wouldn't have got in New Zealand. I was given opportunities to grow as a leader, as a person. I got to enjoy relationships with people who had gone to Cambodia to work there of a similar heart. You could have everyday conversations with people who already understood the things that you were going through. I got to experience the wild jungles of Cambodia and the tropical beaches and the food. And that, we won't have the audio bible today. And the famous Hutchinson barbecues on the balcony amidst the tropical sunsets, the warm winds and the palms. Has anyone experienced one of those barbecues with us in Cambodia? There might have been a couple. Given the opportunity to go back to Cambodia, you know, I actually do that again, knowing what I know now, I would not hesitate, even though it did come at some cost, because there were unpleasant things and difficulties that we witnessed and experienced that to this day still sit at the back of our minds, and they still resurface when stories and conversations come up. There are certain types of television programs I can't watch these days when it depicts life too real, the abuse and difficulty of others. It just comes back, and I actually feel awful, and I can't watch those things anymore because I've seen what it looks like when it actually happens. 6 years ago, I was very happy to be coming back to New Zealand. I wasn't sad to be leaving Cambodia. I didn't leave in a good way. But today I am glad to say that I'm truly excited to go back and see and experience Cambodia as it is today, to begin a new project to serve families of prisoners with Prison Fellowship Cambodia. Now, as I shared those words, for me, they come accompanied by the thoughts, the smells, the emotions, as I explain that. And what you heard probably looks very different or feels very different than what I was feeling as I was saying them. Each of you will be hearing what I'm saying through the lens of your own experience, perhaps thinking about the things that you've experienced along the way, the things that have shaped you and how you've been shaped. And I don't know about them. And I'm sure your mind is going in different directions. Because just like you, I am who I am because of where I went, what I experienced, how I have done life. Each of you here today comes with your bags of experiences, your way of seeing the world, your way of seeing Jesus, the way of experiencing life that is truly rich. Mine is just one among many here today. And the Bible seems to think that the experiences that we go through and the way that we experience Jesus and life throughout is really important for our relationship with Jesus and his global family, that we are supposed to be part of a group of experiences together. Now, our passage from John chapter 1 is fascinating because there are some very obvious repetition throughout this passage, and all throughout John. And so here's a Bible studying tip. When words, phrases, or images are repeated within a book or across many books of the Bible, pay attention because they are significant. And this passage is really quite key to that. Unfortunately, in our English translation, sometimes a Greek word, or for the Hebrew word, is often repeated multiple times, but the way the translators, depending on the intent of the translation, they will often use three different English words for the same Greek word. And so you don't see the repetition sometimes, so you need to look for the groups of words and the groups of patterns as well. So we should pay attention to those phrases or images, and especially the New Testament authors, when they said a word, we'll see one in here where it says, look, the Lamb of God, okay, woo, a sheep. That has huge significance. So when someone read that, that would have conjured up all these things in their mind about the Lamb of God, boom, which is why people, you wonder why when someone says something weird, someone immediately made a move and did something. It's because those words mean something. We're going to read it again. Now I didn't put it up on the screen because I want to try and read it out a little more interactively so that you kind of get the sense for the intent behind those words. Watch out for words that indicate looking or seeing or finding and the action that follows that. They're not casual words. The word looking and seeing means looking with deep intent. Finding means seeking someone, actually intentionally looking them out, not just happening upon them. This passage is intense, so I'm going to try and read it that way. And I want to invite Jesus to help you and just listen to the Spirit as you are listening to these words. There might be something that pulls out and surprises you as well. Now, just before this passage, John has described Jesus as the one from whom all creation came. He described him as the Son, the Word of God, the light of the world, and who came as a human amongst us to experience us and invite us to experience him. He described how John the Baptizer prepared the way and had his own experience of Jesus as the Son of God when Jesus came to him to be baptized. So Jesus has just been baptized by John, and there's been this amazing experience of the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus and declaring he is the Son in whom the Father is well pleased. It's this amazing experience that confirmed to John who Jesus was as he came. Now the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look! The Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they immediately went after Jesus. And then when Jesus saw them, he turned around and he said, "What are you looking for? What are you seeking?" Says here, "What do you want?" Jesus didn't say, "What do you want?" He said, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you doing life? And please, can we come?" And Jesus said, "Come, come. And you will truly see." So they went and they saw where he was staying. They saw where he was staying. And they spent that day with him. They experienced him. It was about 4 in the afternoon, which means hospitality in that culture means that they stayed the whole night with Jesus. Now, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing he did at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon was to go and find and search and look for his brother, Simon. And he said, We have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. I don't know if they asked if Jesus had room for an extra, but anyway, they brought him along. Now Simon comes up, and Jesus looks at him intently. "Wow. You are Simon, but I'm going to call you Cephas, rock." We don't know what happened that night. But the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Jesus went looking. Who did he go looking for? We know he was looking because we know he found him. He had to go out of his way a wee bit because he was sitting in the middle of the row. Philip.
Hi.
How are you going?
Good.
You don't have to do this, but follow me. Jesus went out and found Philip. Jesus probably had no idea the banter that would come after that, the heckling during sermons. He went and found Philip. He found him. He went looking for Philip. I don't know why Jesus was looking for Philip, but he went looking for Philip. And when he found him, he said, "Follow me." And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip went and found Nathanael. He took off. Like Andrew, didn't carry on. He said, oh, yep, I'm just off to get someone else. And he said, we have found. We have found. Well, Philip was found by Jesus. But now Philip's going, I have found. We have found the Messiah. The one that Moses wrote about in the law. And about whom the prophets also wrote. We found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. And so Philip tried to explain intensively why he should come and see Jesus. No, he didn't. He said, come and see. Come and check it out for yourself. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, wow, here is a true Israelite in whom there is absolutely no deceit. And then Nathanael goes, how do you know me? How do you know me? How on earth? Nathanael asked. And Jesus says, I saw you. I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip even came and called you. That obviously meant something to Nathanael. Jesus knew that that meant something to Nathanael, because Nathanael immediately responded, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You're going to see much greater things than that. He then said, you know, truly I tell you, you are going to see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You're going to see things that you have never seen before. Wow, what a rich and dynamic passage that I did not do justice to. We have people saying, we have people hearing, we have people looking, and we have people searching, and we have people inviting, and we have people seeing, we have people finding. And come is the word that precedes see. It requires movement, risk, effort, willingness, intention. And the word see is not just come and see, it's come and experience. I can't explain this to you. You just have to come and be part of this. Put yourself out there. It might be uncomfortable, but I can't explain any of this. I won't be able to convince you with my words. Just come and see. Now, in the previous passage, what I didn't include before was that the Pharisees wanted to know. They went to see John the Baptizer, and they said, who are you? And who sent you? They came to demand information. Give us something to write down so we can go back. This is dramatically contrasted with this passage, which richly describes a way of learning and knowing through experiencing and being experienced. This passage is instead full of curiosity and excitement and risk, of people being searched for, of people being found, being invited into an experience. But most importantly, it's full of people responding to both the invitation and then responding to the experience of Jesus. Now, we traveled back and forth from Cambodia quite often. We did a lot of talking about the work that we did. And there were times where we would talk to people and we would see their eyes glaze over. In the early days, we would try and explain things dramatically. But actually, over time, we came to the realize that actually there were things we just couldn't explain. And so sometimes we would give some fairly stock standard answers, because when someone asked us a question, the answer would be rich with emotion and meaning. And then we would look at the person and go, what is it that they're wanting? What are you seeking? because I could share this part, or I could give you this little answer. So some people just got that answer. Well, maybe it's too painful for us to share that. But what we did, we gave an open invitation to people to come and understand what we did, to come and see. We'd give people free board and lodgings at our home for however long they wanted to stay with us, as long as they came to help out, live with us as a family, be with us as a family, experience the ministry that we did together, help us foster children, help us with educating our children, help us in the various ministry, whatever gifts that you had. And we had about 7 people take us up on that offer over an 8-year period, anywhere from a month to 9 months long. They came and stayed and lived with us. They came and they saw, and some more than once. And it was transformative for them because the things that we talked about and explained, they were actually now going and experiencing for themselves. And they would come back in the evenings and talk to us and go, what about this and what about that? Out of their experience, we were then able to share our heart and some of the things that we had learned and discovered. And each of them came and learned what they needed for their own situation at the right time for their lives. For most, the acceptance of that invitation to come and see changed the trajectory of their lives. Quite a few of them went back and completely changed their careers and their ideas of where they were heading to engage in a completely different thing. See, the invitation that Jesus gives us to come and see is not just to come and see, it's to come and experience. We could try and convince people about Jesus, but actually unless they experience that. It's only ever in the experience of a person that we can truly understand who that person is. And that's one of the reasons why Colleen and I think it's vitally important to learn about the Treaty of Waitangi as we head into Waitangi season in the Māori world, in Te Reo Māori. How can we truly know what our opinion should be unless we've truly experienced the people that we are supposed to be engaging with? We're invited to try and understand through language and relationship and learning and experience. And we've taken up that invitation. It's not easy. It's sometimes very, very uncomfortable. But we extend that invitation to you as well. But we also extend the invitation to you, to the one that Jesus has given, to come and see. Because did you know that Jesus is seeking you out? Jesus is looking for you. He's seeking you out, nudging you along, looking for you to invite you into his life and his hope. And did you know that it's through his people that he's doing that? We often wonder where Jesus is. Jesus is here. And it's through our experience of each other that we learn more about Jesus. He's called us to participate. We are all simultaneously being called to come and see and experience this person of Jesus. So come to the Grow Nights if you want to know more. But we're also being called into that experience, and that experience is often done through the experiences of other people and understand how they have experienced Jesus in different ways. But not only are we being called and invited to come and experience, we're also being invited, like Philip and Andrew, to actually go and find other people to invite them to come and experience. So there's this whole dual experience, find and be found, come. Go. So what is it that you are looking for? If Jesus was to ask you today, what are you looking for from me? You're following me, but what if I was to turn around and look at you, what are you looking for? We want to see what it's like where you are, Jesus. And who are you inviting to come and see? Who is it that you're speaking to and saying, hey, this is the person I've found. Come and see. We don't know what happened with Nathaniel after that. A lot of people got invited to do stuff. Maybe didn't carry on doing it. To come and see means to leave a place of comfort and preformed opinions about a person or a people group or a thing or a place, and actually going and entering into someone's world to see for yourself. It's about ignoring the clamor of social media who's telling you what opinions you should have and of forming opinions in the comfort of our own home and actually going out to find out for ourselves through experiencing things up close and personal. To go and find means going out of your way and into someone else's experience and in the process inviting them into yours. And in this passage, people don't seem that interested in trying to argue or persuade. They're just saying, come and see, come and experience. I can't explain it. You're just going to have to experience it or choose not to. And remember that Jesus' final command to his disciples was to say, go into all the world. Go into all the world to invite people to come and see. And because we know that Jesus is already there and already at work before we get to places, it's an invitation to come and join Jesus and see what he is doing in those places. And you'll be truly amazed at what's happening, and it will be transformative for you. There are two invitations being put before us today, before you today. Jesus is calling you to come or go to see for yourself. You can't experience Jesus if you don't follow him to where he is staying and where he is at work. The second invitation is to get to know those around you more deeply, because it's in their stories and in their experiences and along their journeys that you will also be exposed to new and different facets of the character of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We saw a little snippet of Kath's story last week and Sam's story. But we've heard a lot of people come back and go, man, that really was amazing. And that's just a sliver. Sliver? Probably both. It's a small piece of Kath's story. I'm interwoven into Kath's stories in some pretty cool ways. I had to take it out because I don't have time. But I'm standing here today because of something she prophesied the first day that I was in here when I was 12 years old. And that's been the star word, the star phrase, the anchor for my soul the whole way through, where God points back to that. Remember I said that about you? That's why I'm here today, because of something that God said to Kath. She was standing there, we were sitting there. I remember it so vividly. And if her story hadn't happened the way it had happened, she wouldn't be there to say that thing, to say that thing to me. Who is it that we avoid? Well, because we're uncomfortable around them. And then we have opinions about people and we stay uncomfortable because we don't really understand them. Have you ever gone to see them in their space? Got to know them? To watch, listen, learn from and about them up close without making judgments from afar? Whether that's people of different faiths or different ethnicities or different social status. So today, for the next 10 minutes or so, we are going to spend some time learning each other's stories and their experience of Jesus. Last week we heard from two people, and next week we will hear from two more, I think. But today we're going to spend some time in groups. Now, I know that can be uncomfortable for some, but again, uncomfortable, it's an invitation to, hey, jump into the experience and hear what other people have to say. And I encourage you not to just stay in your groups, unless you're in a group where there's people that you're not familiar with. Spend some time, maybe go and find another group. But we have some conversation cards. You'll find them under your chairs. There's a whole bunch of them around. So these are starters. You don't have to think about what to say. We have some questions that you can use. One person's experience of God is not enough to give you a full understanding of the nature of God or of Jesus. But together, as we hear the different ways God has interacted, we get to have the richness and the encouragement and be an encouragement to others. So for the next 10 minutes, we'll call you back when it's time. Spend some time together. Enjoy some rich conversation. And if I know anything about this church, we'll be finding it difficult to wrangle you back at the end. Wonderful.